about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Man, what a wonderful day. Everybody's in a good mood. We got rain in December. It's cool stuff. 46 degrees currently at Hollis, 41 at Arnett, 39 at the May Ranch up there along the Kansas line, and 39 at Slapout. All right, first of all, let's check out some of these rain total amounts. Pretty cool what I'm seeing. Let's start with Oklahoma. 2.96 inches at the this is all mesonet site, so I know some places got more. The Bobby sent me a Snapchat. He had a 3.5 inches there at Hex. So 2.96 at Hollis, 2.86 at Eric, a little over 3 inches at Arnett, a little over 3.5 inches at Slapout, and at Beaver, 3.25. Just some awesome rains, and then that rain moved on across there and over here in some more of the listening area. At Fairview, 1.75 inches, 1.5 inches at Lahoma, 1.3 inches at Alva. I had 2.7 at my house, and I think we got some, and if you guys want to, the text line's wide open at 580-225-9697 if you want to text in your rainfall amount so we can brag on you. Be more than welcome to do that. And also later on in the show, starting here about 12:20, 12:25, I'm pretty excited to have her on, Miss Shelly Nutt from the Texas Peanut Board, out of McKinney, Texas, is going to be on here with me. We're going to talk about peanut crop in Texas this year, also a couple other things. So it's going to be a really exciting show with her on today. She is a hoot. I talked to her on the phone this morning. She sounds like she's a blast. So let's see what out here in the panhandle of Texas, a whole different ball game. 3.31 inches at Goodlet, 4.60 at Escaline, almost 5.6 inches at Memphis, 3.75 at Wellington, 4.9 inches at Dozer, 4.61 inches at McLean, a little over 3 inches at Miami, almost 3 inches at Canadian. Lipscomb had 3.45 inches of rain. The Paladora Reservoir had 3.7 inches of rain. And then we do have listeners in Kansas, so check this out. It looked like yesterday they were just getting hammered all day long, but according to the Kansas Mesonet, they were getting rain, but not as much as it looked like. Around Meade, they got 2.31 inches, and in Ashland, right there north of Buffalo, got almost an inch. So they've been getting some pretty good rains, but the rain has spread out across Oklahoma, and looks like it'll be out of here by late this afternoon in the whole state of Oklahoma. So pretty exciting with all this rain. Very rare that we get a big rain. And I seen a pond along 152 there, just west or east of Merritt Road this morning. And it was dry a couple days ago because I looked over there at it for some reason. This morning it looked like it was about half full. So it looks like got some runoff last night with that big rain that came in. Well, let's see what happened overnight in the world of agriculture. Soybeans and grains were little changed overnight as investors weighed strong demand for U.S. supplies against favorable weather conditions in parts of South America. The USDA has announced large sales of U.S. ag products to overseas buyers in each of the past 11 sessions. An unnamed country, which we call John Doe on this show, purchased 400,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery. That's quite a bit, and that's for the 23-24 year. On Wednesday, another 125,000 tons of U.S. soybeans were sold to a John Doe destination. Sales of 132,000 tons and 198,000 tons of soybeans were announced Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively. On Monday, the government said China bought 136,000 tons of soybeans and 110,000 tons of soft red winter wheat. A John Doe country also purchased 165,000 tons of U.S. corn. Capping prices, however, are calls for rainfalls in parts of Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, and in Argentina next week. Precipitation late last week will ease heat and moisture stress in the northern third of Brazil's growing areas, according to the Commodity Weather Group said in a note to some of its clients. Rainfall in Argentina also will benefit soybeans and corn, the forecaster said. Overnight, soybean futures for January delivery fell a quarter of a penny to $13.13¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down 20 cents to $4.03.50 a short ton, while soy oil lost 0.14 cents to 49.37 cents a pound. Corn for March delivery was up a quarter cent to $4.79.5 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery fell three-quarters of a cent to $6.15 a bushel, and Kansas City futures were down a half a penny to $6.36 a bushel. Export sales of wheat hit the highest since the grain marketing year started June 1st, and corn sales were also higher last week, according to data from the USDA. Wheat sales in 7 days that ended on December 7th reached 1.49 million metric tons, up from 622,800 tons the week prior. And it's also up noticeably from the four-week average. China bought 1.12 million tons of U.S. wheat. The Philippines bought 124,000 tons. Mexico was in there for 87,000 tons. Japan, 62,000 tons. Even Chile bought about 32,000 tons. The total would have been higher, but a John Doe country canceled cargoes of 37,000 tons, and Malaysia nixed shipments of 30,000 tons. Exports for the week were reported at 289,600 tons. That's up almost 50% week over week. Corn sales total 1.42 million tons. That's up 10% from the week previous week, but down 12% from average. Mexico was a big buyer at 669,800 tons, followed by John Doe destination of 386,000 tons. China took 143,000 tons. South Korea was in there for 65,000 tons. And even Saudi Arabia took 50,000 tons. Exports for the week came in at 851,000 tons, and that's down 22% from the week prior. Winter storms are hitting the southern plains, are moving east into central Oklahoma and northern Texas, bringing snow to the area. I don't know where the National Weather Service got this, because I didn't see that on the radar. But anyway, accumulations of 3 inches of snow are forecast as the area system moves through the region. Low visibility and heavy snow, slippery roads are possible. Further east in central Missouri, dry conditions this weekend will increase the risk of wildfires. Winds will gust up to 30 miles an hour Sunday and to Monday, and humidity will drop, creating tinderbox-like conditions, according to the National Weather Service. Let's get a quick update before we go to our first Wheeler General Store break on what the grains are actually doing right now. Corn for March is 482. It's up 3. May is 494, up 2. Soybeans for January, 1312. Down, looks like, what is that, $1.20? And soybean meal is down, up 50 cents at $4.04.20 for January. Soybean oil is down 0.10 cents to 49.41 cents a pound for January. Hard red winter wheat is up a little over 2, almost 3. March is 6.39. May is 6.44, up over 3. Needed to. It's been taking a hit here lately. What's cotton doing? Cotton's in the tank just a little bit today, not too bad. March 80.05 down 0.76, and May's 80.85 down 0.64. Oil is up about 19 cents today for January at 71.77. That's West Texas Intermediate oil. And natural gas is up a little bit today, 0.12 up to 251. For January and 244 for February. All right, when we come back from this Wheeler General Store break, we'll talk some cattle. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
And ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is far more than just a cattle show. See for yourself December 30th through January 11th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics, something for every operation. And stop by on January 4th or 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale information, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemenscongress.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Market Report for Friday, December 8th. 1,641 head were sold, 7 head of steers at 385, brought 317, 55 at 422, brought 302, 3 at 452, brought 302, 11 at 595, brought 231, 9 at 616, brought 219, 4 at 718, brought 215, 15 at 763, brought 215, 50, 5 head of heifers at 404, brought 240, 6 at 558 brought 210, 11 at 578 brought 183.50, 13 at 672 brought 200, 6 at 797 brought 183.35, 3 at 845 brought 181, butcher cows were 32 to 111, butcher bulls brought 76 to 119, bred cows were 935 to 2450, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Got to push the red button so you guys can hear me. Currently here on the Gabe Gadsden Mezzanet Center in our studio, we have the 42.6 degrees, humidity's at 84. We received 2.45 inches of rain in the last 3 days. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, Dozer, 44 degrees, wind chills at 37, humidity's at 73%, dew point's 36, the winds are out of the northwest at 15 miles an hour, peak wind gusts so far today, 27 miles an hour, month-to-date precipitation, and it all came in the last 3 days at Dozer, 4.90 inches of rain. How about that? I bet they got some ponds filled and the dry creeks are running a little bit. 8-inch soil temperature, 46 degrees. That is your weather ag update for out in the Texas Panhandle. Are you looking for deer corn still? Because Wheeler General Store still has it. It's fully stocked with corn, attractants, game cameras, feeders, and much, much more. While you're looking for hunting accessories, be sure to check out all the different meat seasons. Elk Creek, Meat Church, and Traeger, just to name a few of them. Feed season is right here, right now. It's not around the corner. It's here now. The Wheeler General Store has been a High Pro dealer for 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, and New Mexico. For prices, call Mr. Nathan Heffley at 806-826-5531. The Wheeler General Store is located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside Wheeler, Texas. As always, they look forward to serving you. All right, let's see what's happening with the cattle market. Live cattle right now, it was in the green when I started the show. Now it's in the red. December lives, 167.47, down 2 cents. February's 167.82, down 10 cents. April's 171.35, down 22 cents. Feeder cattle, January, 219.22, down 12 cents. March is 220.37, up 25 cents. And April is 224.80, up 47 cents. And it just updated here. Everything's back into green now. Anyways, that's how fast this thing's changing. Lean hogs for February, 71.82, up $1.35. April's 78.32, up $1.15. And lean hogs for May is 84.75, up 70 cents. All right, got some numbers from up at the sale barns in the northern part of our listening area up here in northwestern Oklahoma. Looks like because of the rain, there was limited receipts this week. There were a few cattle in most classes for a good trend. There was a steady to stronger undertone noted on both the feeders, cattle, and the calves. Demand was moderate in most of the sale barns up here. Let's check out some of the weights. Here's some 3-4 weights. We're bringing anyway from 317 to 329, and those were unweaned. 4-5 weights, we're bringing up to 312. Here's some nice load at 436 weights that were weaned, brought 308.86. On the 5-6 weights, we had some 30 weaned ones weighing 539, brought 286. Some unweaned ones were bringing up to 257. And the 6-7 weight class, 226 looked like was top end. Looked like they averaged anywhere from 677 to 688. We're bringing anywhere from 212 to 225. And there was about 15 cents difference between the weans and the unweans. On the 7 weights, they were bringing up to 222.50. On the 8 weights, looks like 216 was the top, weighing 807. Heavier the guy, like the 850s, brought 206, about a dime less. And the 9 weights, big load of 112, 931, brought 209. And there was a few that weighed 1109, brought $1.58. Still not too shabby. On the girl side, as Mr. Brandon Hickey calls them, we'll go with the heifers. The 3-4 weights were bringing up to 274. The 4-5 weights were bringing 259 was the top end for some 405s and 222s for some 487 weights. And then on the 5-6 weights, it looks like it was just anywhere, averaging anywhere from 220 to 233. And looks like still about 10 to 15% cents a pound difference when you had some unweaned ones in there. These weighed 537 and they averaged 220.50 on that. 6 weights, 209, 604s for unweaned, and some weaned ones brought 213. And let's see here, some, no 7 or 8, there here's some 8 weights. 8 weights were bringing anywhere from $1.70 to $1.89. There you got it. There's your update. Well, we're going to go ahead and take an early Wheeler General Store break so we can get on the phone with Miss Shelly Nutt from the Texas Peanut Commission Board, or Peanut Board. Anyway, it's going to probably take the rest of the show. I don't know. If you got any questions you want to ask on peanuts, growing peanuts, what they, where they, how they're, man, how they're processed or anything, this lady knows, promise you. So if you want to text in some questions while we're talking, and we got time, I will relay those questions on to her and see if she'll answer them on the air for us today. Anyway, I'm pretty excited about this interview, so we'll be right back. after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens, the owner of Galleria Furniture. We believe everyone deserves a good night's sleep at an affordable price. We have twin mattresses starting at only $99. Full size, $199, and queen size, only $299. With hundreds of mattresses to choose from, like Spring Air and Serta, why shop anywhere else? And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or each year's for free. Visit us at any of our 7 locations across the state.
Appliances is not included.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day, and you flipped the switch on that machine, and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, 4 different sized dumpsters, there's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I am wound up today. It is Friday. All right, let's check out weather. I'm going to go with Woodward, Oklahoma for your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Update. Let's check it out. What's going on there? Currently, it's 41 degrees there. Feels like 35. Dew point's 38. Humidity's 89%. The winds are out of the west, northwest at 10 miles an hour. Total 10-day rainfall, 1.75 inches of rain. Pretty nice. 3-day average bare soil temperature, 44 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunsets at 5:23. Today, slight chance of showers, 42 for a high. And partly cloudy and 28 tonight. And tomorrow, sunny and 54 degrees with northwest winds, 12 to 14 miles an hour. Well, I've been waiting for this interview for a week and a half now, and I'm super excited to have Miss Shelly Nutt on here from the Texas Peanut Board. Welcome.
Thank you. It's always so much fun getting on and talking to people that love agriculture as much as I do. And I get to talk about peanuts, which is so much fun.
All right. Well, let's stop right there and find out who Shelley is and how she knows about agriculture.
Well, so I didn't learn it growing up, that's for sure. I was not a farmer. I'm learning. How's that? I've been working for the Peanut Board for almost 21 years, and I'm still learning something new every day. But what I do know is that I love working for peanut farmers. I love the peanut industry. It's so cool getting to work in a commodity for a commodity that actually has, like, great health benefits, and we're saving lives around the country by ending starvation. And there's so many great things with peanuts and peanut butter, which makes it a really fun commodity to represent.
Yeah, it is. It's I help the Ripitos and some other people down here in our area with peanut harvest every year, and it gets in your blood. And I don't even have any peanuts, and it's in my blood, and I appreciate them being patient with me because I'm not a row cropper, so I'll be honest with that. And so, but anyway, just learning about, so the past, what, 8 or 10 years that I've been helping them, you know, there's runners, they're Virginias, they're Spanish, and now, even if I can pronounce it right, the Valencia, I guess is how you say that. Did I say that right?
Yep, you did good. You did really good.
I did good. So that's even growing in Oklahoma now, and it's just cool to learn the different types of peanuts and how they do and how much water
and
it
how
takes.
Each one is and how each one is different. It's fascinating.
Okay, so
I work from home, so we're gonna have to deal with a dog barking occasionally.
That's all right.
I apologize for that.
Hey, that makes it real.
It's definitely real.
So which peanut's your favorite?
My favorite to eat, definitely the Virginia peanut.
How come?
I love the size of it. I love the way it cooks out. Now you're putting me on the spot. Because then I also love peanut butter, and peanut butter is made with runners. But then I also love the little Spanish ones with the little red skin on them. So, man, Jimmy, you're putting me on the spot, making me choose one over another.
Well, maybe some of the Texas peanut farmers aren't listening. We all got our opinions, and this is just an honest opinion.
We do. You know, I love Virginias, and it's more of just probably a flavor, and I love, you know, just love that cocktail-sized peanut. And golly, when you're sitting around drinking beer, it's just the best peanut to eat, I think.
Yes, ma'am. You got that right.
If there's Valencia farmers out there, I hope it didn't offend you, or Spanish or runners, but personally, I love a good Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Well, they... Well, out in the field, when we're harvesting peanuts, a cold beer and raw peanuts go a long ways when you don't have supper or lunch. So it really works out pretty good. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, here it is right here at the lunch hour. And about 30 minutes ago, I thought, you know, I need to eat something. And so I literally grabbed just a little pack of peanuts just to like take care of that hunger to get me through the interview. And, you know, it just. There's so many great things about it besides tasting good. You know, now we're seeing it in all of these weight loss programs where just a handful of peanuts can hold off hunger or can actually make you feel full longer. Now we're seeing all of these researchers coming back with information on how peanuts help your gut health. You know, and the more we know about gut health impacts everything from our head to our toes, our mental health, our mobility. You know, gut health just touches everything in our body, and so now we're learning that peanuts help our gut health. So the more we learn about peanuts and their healthy benefits, the more excited I get about it. And I would say eat a handful of peanuts every single day and do it guilt-free, because it's like taking a handful of vitamins naturally. You're just doing really great things for your body.
No, I should have been really healthy during harvest because I was eating by the handful, and they were raw.
Absolutely, and talk about, you know, I give you credit. If you could eat the handfuls of raw peanuts and not get sick from them, because I don't eat raw peanuts often, they make me sick to my stomach.
People who
eat them all the time, you know, my peanut farmers eat raw peanuts all the time, and it doesn't bother them at all. So That's good. I love the flavor of them.
Oh, yeah.
I've learned over the years not to eat many.
Well, this lady that I gave some of the raw peanuts to here about a month ago, she whooped in the studio yesterday with me 3 packages of peanut patty she bought.
I got a
Miss Joanne Haggard. You did good. That's all I can tell you. I was having to beat everybody here off of them. So it was all good.
We've got some fabulous candy makers in the Southwest. You know, between peanut patties and peanut brittle, and people know how to cook peanuts in this part of the country.
They do. Hey, well, tell us a little bit about the Texas Peanut Board. What's your main objective? Every board's different.
The Texas Peanut Producers Board is made up of 9 farmers, and they're elected from around the state. And then I work for them. I'm the only staff person. I office out of my home, which is why I said you'd probably hear the dog barking or maybe the doorbell ring. But our main mission, if I were to sum it up in a nutshell, no pun intended, is to increase grower profitability, whether that's through marketing peanuts, whether it's to selling them in New Mexico, whether it's overseeing research projects that address disease pressure, or breeding peanuts with high oleic qualities and disease packages that helps our Texas peanut farmers, you know, whatever that is. So marketing, research, promotion, hosting meetings that is giving good educational material to growers to help them make better decisions on their farm. So ultimately, to increase grower profitability, and it looks different every day, you know, depending on what we're doing, whether it's going to a meeting. We were in Washington, D.C. last week. There was me and several of our peanut farmers meeting with other growers, shellers, and manufacturers from around the country. And, you know, and I think it's vitally important that we stay in front of the manufacturers all the time, reminding them that, hey, we're in the Southwest. We're not Georgia, but we grow a darn good peanut. And pay attention to us and be sure and buy our peanuts, too. And so we've got to constantly work on not only helping growers produce a high-quality peanut, but then also making sure that the markets are available for them to sell them into. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what we do at the Texas Peanut Producers Board. And so, like I said, it looks different every day. I may be in Washington like I was last week, but then I'm going to be in Atlanta in a few weeks presenting a research package to the National Peanut Board, or working on a meeting that we're having coming up in March. So every day is different, which makes it a whole lot of fun. From where I'm sitting.
Well, and not only I was checking out your website, and you got a very informative website, by the way. And people don't know it, but in Texas they have, what I'm looking at, 8 different shelling facilities.
Yeah, are you looking at the buyers and exporters tab?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I refer people to that tab almost daily. Because I'm getting calls or emails or texts from people saying, where can I get Texas peanuts? And so I direct them straight to that tab. And a lot of times I'll give them a little direction. If they're looking for something special, if they're looking for an organic Valencia, or if they're looking for in-shell Virginia, you know, I may give them some direction on who they need to call. But thank you. That, you know, our website needs to be updated, which it needs to be updated all the time, right? I feel like I could update it once a month and still be behind on it.
Well, you have a December 6th one on here, so you're not far behind.
Well, you know, you pointed out that Oklahoma is now growing all 4 types, and my website doesn't reflect that.
No, it doesn't. That's fake
news. Texas grows all 4 types. So, yeah. See, we need to get that updated. It also says that Texas is the number 2 producer of peanuts in the United States, and we are not. The drought that we've had the past few years has really taken our production down. And last year, I believe we were 4th or 5th in production, and we'll be in that same spot again for 2023.
I got you.
And I know you guys are feeling it too. When we're droughting in Texas, you guys are droughting in Oklahoma.
Yeah, we're not.
It's impacted all of us.
we're not 30 minutes from Texas line, so we felt it pretty good here. You know, there's a lot of irrigated peanuts around here, very, very limited on dry land, mm-hmm. if any, around here. And but you know, Mother Nature's water is 10 times better than irrigated water. So we didn't have a lot of, we did start out with a lot of water rain to start with, but then when that faucet changed over, man, you know, people had to go to work irrigating and stuff, and it affected it a little bit, but so anyway, so what's what was your guys' production? Do you know any of your production from 23 yet?
I do. We've got, we did get our inspection numbers back in, and we produced just under 224,000 tons. It was actually 223,698 or something, and I'm sure we've still got a few peanuts that's going to roll in late, but roughly 224,000 tons. You know, where we haven't got a firm numbers on our acreage yet, they reported acres through NAS was ridiculously high. I want to say it was like 240,000 acres, and that's way too high. We may have had those acres go in the ground, but they weren't harvested, and we're still trying to figure out what that number was. You know, we're thinking that harvested acres was roughly probably between 175,000 acres and 190,000 acres.
Right.
And we had a lot of acres fail just from the drought, which you guys did too, probably. We had acres that were failed, that were abandoned, that just didn't produce. But we just don't know exactly what that number was. But it was a tough year. It was a really tough year.
Right. So do you know?
I know y'all felt it too.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I interrupted you.
I said I know Oklahoma felt it too. So when I'm, when I'm whining about how bad our crop was, I know Oklahoma farmers were saying, yeah, same here, man, same here.
Oh yeah. No. So do you know what percentage of the acres in Texas is irrigated versus dry land by chance?
Yeah, probably about like you guys. I bet we're probably 95% irrigated.
I got you.
We just don't grow. We don't grow peanuts in Texas that's not under irrigation.
Right. And they. Yeah, because I don't know in our area right now, and somebody's probably going to send a message in on the text line, you knew this, and I don't know of any dry land peanuts in our immediate area here, so because it's pretty dry out here in western Oklahoma and eastern Texas, but I bet there's some, but man, we made up for it here in the last few days, especially over there around Memphis, Texas, and down in there around Vernon and in that area. Woo, they got some rain now.
Love it. Yeah, that's so good. I've got a peanut farmer that farms in Clarendon. I've got one in Vernon. Golly, you know, it's so good just hearing. It's here fall now. It's just that crop in the spring. You know that as a farmer. You know, we need rain year-round. But now it's time to get it. Now it's going to be really good for their winter wheat crop and then helping that set that spring crop when the seed goes in the ground, and hopefully it'll just continue. You know, like you said, we had good rains. We had great rains last spring, and then it was done. And when it shut off, it turned hot and breezy, and all the moisture was gone.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, they've been around farms, but they're not farmers. They're like, man, you guys, it rained all the way up till July. Well, guess what? That's when we actually start watering peanuts, is in July. Yeah. And when it shuts off, and you got 30, 40 mile an hour south winds just drying stuff out. And just, you know, it's not quite as simple as people think it is. But
yeah, it's real easy for people to sit on their couch and figure out farming, isn't it? But when it's your financial investment, when you went out there and put that seed in the ground and spent the money to plow it and plant it and fertilize it and water it, and you watch that plant grow up 3 inches and then just wither and die, yeah, come tell us how to fix that, because there's no fixing it. It's all weather related. No. And you're right, irrigation is awesome. Thank God we've got irrigation, but it can only go so far. And we need rain. We need rain to flush the minerals out of the soil. We need help with our irrigation. You know, the farmer's profit margin is very narrow. And when they're having to water that crop and they can't turn their irrigation wells off, that profit margin just gets more and more narrow.
Yeah,
so our growers just need a break.
Yep, electricity is not cheap, but we got to have it. It's great we do have it, but there's before we go to this first break, because I got to take a break here in about a minute, when I was looking on your website, what's this about Texas boiled peanuts on here? What's the deal on that? I want to know something about that.
Texas boiled peanuts? Is it the company in San Antonio you're looking at?
Yeah, and then there's one
Little
in
Red.
Austin. Yeah.
Yeah. So Little Reds, I don't know the Austin people. I know the people, the Little Reds people. He and his wife were from, I want to say they were maybe from the Southeast, and when they moved into San Antonio, they realized that there are no boiled peanuts anywhere. And so he started buying, he buys Texas peanuts, a lot of Valencias. They boil them and vacuum pack them and put them in the refrigerator. And I can't say they're as good as boiled peanuts in the Southeast, but they're pretty darn good. He's also making like a peanut hummus where he's grinding it up like you would a chickpea, and it is so good. So Little Reds, he's a redheaded guy, and he's got two redheaded little boys and a redheaded wife. So Little Reds is a Texas-based company that they're so innovative, and just he come out with like a peanut dip with red peppers in it. And so he's using peanut as his base, but then adding all the different flavors to create different flavored dips and different flavored hummuses, and then, of course, the boiled peanuts, too. So super cool site, great family. When people call here, which I get so many calls and emails from people wanting boiled peanuts, too, I send them the Little Reds because we don't boil peanuts in Texas.
Well, have you never done that yet?
I have not boiled peanuts. I went on a farm tour in Georgia right after I started to work here with the Peanut Board. And on that farm tour, we were south of Macon on Donald Chase's farm, and his mother brought out a big pressure cooker during the farm tour in the barn, opened it up and started dipping out boiled peanuts straight from the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with them. I thought they were delicious. They tasted like a very salty pinto bean to me, and I loved it. But Texans just don't like boiled peanuts. I don't know about Oklahomans. I figured you guys don't either.
Oh, no, you're wrong. We do.
You like them. You're going to find out that me and you are probably the only people in the state
there's
Texans and Oklahomans.
Now, there's a lot of people that around here that, you know, the guys that I help, they leave piles of peanuts right there along the road, and people come get them. They take them home. They'll boil them.
Really?
Boil them so long, adding salt in there, and then they'll take them out and roast them in the oven or whatever. No, it's going on around here.
Wow. And so they're leaving peanuts just so that people can come out and gather them up and boil them.
Right.
That's really sweet.
Yep. Sure.
That's really
is.
Sweet. I'll have people call from wherever and say, you know, I would love to just go meet a farmer and see if he would let me have some peanuts. And I'm thinking, you know that?
Well,
I don't know many farmers that.
I'll save them a phone call. If they'll just follow some of the harvesters around the area, because it's congregated where they do in the sandy ground, they just watch. And for somebody to mess up out there during harvest and then go out there and grab them.
And then they go gather. Yeah, and I don't know of a farmer that would mind someone doing that, but.
I don't know. Peanut farmers are pretty protective of their peanuts.
Yeah, they are. They are. Plus, you know, we're worried about liability issues. Years ago, we would have said, yeah, go out and dig up whatever you want. But now it's like, wait a minute. Do we really want people wandering around on a farm that might have a rattlesnake or might trip over? And
well, we need to take a short break here. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about the people from Mexico that was up here not too long ago.
I would love that.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Sugar Creek Casino presents Clint Black in concert Friday, December 29th, Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
Talking in the moonlight.
An incredible night of Clint Black featuring some of his greatest hits. Don't miss Clint Black live at Sugar Creek Casino. Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Wheeler General Store Happy Hour. Let's go with Hollis, Oklahoma for your ag weather update provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Currently it is 46 degrees, feels like 40. The winds are out of the northwest at 15. 24-hour rainfall, 1.15 inches of rain. 10-day rain total, 2.96 inches of rain. Humidity, 77. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 47 degrees. Fractional water for one day at 10 inches at 0.9. Sunset at 5:30, mostly cloudy and 51 today, 31 for tonight, sunny and 58 tomorrow. So the weather, it looks like we got good weather for the next 4 or 5 days, but I will give you a little bit of update starting next week around Wednesday or Thursday, according to my informant Channel 9 weather. Up in Oklahoma City, there's another round, maybe be identical just to the one that just went through. So get ready. We got some more rain coming next week, it looks like. Well, on the show with me right now is Miss Shelley Nutt with the Texas Peanut Board. It's been fun so far. You got all kinds of great information for us, and thank you for coming on today anyway.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And gosh, I was loving that rain report, thinking, yeah, just keep bringing it on.
Yeah, bring it on. We can't get too much, but very rare around here. But anyway, so you work for the Peanut Board, and I was looking on your website, and I just seen that. I looked at it really hard last week, but I guess I skipped one step in there. But this is very interesting what you guys did with some representatives from the peanut world in Mexico. They come up to, what was it, Lubbock, I guess?
Yeah, so they were in Lubbock. You know, and Jimmy, I'm trying to think when they came to Lubbock. That was last fall, maybe?
Yeah, October 10th. Yeah, 10th and 13th, through the 13th.
Okay, and then since then, we actually did a trip to Mexico and met them in Mexico. And I love talking about the Mexican market. When I first started to work for the Peanut Board, I guess I was about a year or two into it and just starting to get a handle on how things work and who does what. And we've got thousands of different organizations that represents our little bitty tiny industry. And so I was trying to figure out what organization did what where. And the American Peanut Council is like our umbrella organization. They represent the growers, the shellers, the manufacturers, and everyone in between, you know, whether you're a tote bag seller or an insurance seller or equipment. So they're representing the entire industry. But what they also do is they work on our export markets for us. And so they came to Texas and said, listen, we really want to direct the focus into Mexico. At the time, Mexico was buying peanuts, but not any from the United States. They were such a small market in the United States that they would show up on USDA's export reports in the other category, lumped in with all the other countries who was just barely buying any from the United States. You know, and that doesn't make any sense at all. It's our next door neighbor.
Right.
So my thoughts were, if anyone's going to sell them peanuts, by golly, it's going to be Texas in the United States. And so it was probably 18 years ago that we really dug our heels in and said, it's time to go to work in Mexico. And we went to Mexico and visited key manufacturers in Mexico. And then we turned around and we brought them into Texas and we hosted a big tour. We fed them well. We took them into peanut fields and let them look at all four types of peanuts growing in the fields. And then the next year we would go back to Mexico and we would tour their facilities and ask them, you know, where are the deficiencies? What do you need more of? How can we make our peanuts your peanut of choice? And we were doing this for the entire United States, not just Texas. But again, I love the Mexican market, and so I'll hardly let them go to Mexico without me. So we did this just back and forth for years until it just basically got so dangerous in Mexico that we couldn't go there anymore. But we continued to bring them here every year. We'd bring them to Texas 2 years, and then we'd go to Georgia for 1 year, and then two more years in Texas, and then maybe Virginia the next year. But we really worked on building those relationships. And if you know anything about the Mexican market, it's very relationally, it's just a very relational market. They want to know the people, and they want to have a shot at tequila with you and eat a meal with you and hang out. And we did that with them. And after 20 years, 18 years of really working with them and sharing Christmas cards and sharing pictures of grandchildren and children, they are now our number one market, export market for the United States. We send almost 150,000 metric tons of peanuts into Mexico every year.
Wow.
It valued at over $200 million. They exceeded Canada 3 years ago and have held on to that spot. I mean, we have just seen this market blow up. And the really cool thing about the Mexican market is that their population continues to grow, and they don't eat peanut butter. So then you're thinking, well, that's kind of bad, right? In my mind, I'm thinking, heck no, that's a great thing that they're not eating peanut butter. We're going to convert them to eating peanut butter, and then we're going to sell them 300,000 metric tons.
Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Well, who were they buying from? We got just a couple minutes left, but who was we buying from? Are they,
you know,
buying
that's
from?
A really good question, and I probably knew the answer to that a long time ago, but I have no idea. You know, just off the top of my head, I would think that they were probably buying from, like, maybe Argentina and Nicaragua and Brazil, just because it's more of kind of the Latin-based countries.
I gotcha.
So I'm guessing somebody's going to hear this and correct me, and that'll be great. You just let me know what the real answer is. But
well, I'm
going to
see if I can
tell
boil you,
that... you
some peanuts with tequila in it and see if you like them. I'll send them to you.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, years ago, I'm kind of old now, so I don't hang out and drink tequila like I used to, but years ago, I would sit at the bar with the Mexicans, And I would, before the Mexicans would come in for our big events and the dinners that we would host, I would talk to the bartender and I'd say, okay, here's the deal. They're going to want to do tequila shots. And I can't do tequila shots. So pour a little shot. They would get iced tea behind the bar, or tea. And I would say, you know, I'll do one or two of them. And then after that, I need you to put tea in my tequila shot glass. And you let them do shots, and I'm gonna shoot tea.
That's funny.
And we would play this game, you know, and I would do the whole shudder and make the face, and then they would be so impressed at the end of the evening because, like, I did all these shots and I wasn't drunk yet. So,
well, thank you. The music's playing. We gotta go.
I can hear it.
And hey, thank you so much for coming on today.
It's been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
All right, see you later, Shelly.
Everyone have a Merry Christmas.
All right. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Winning a prize for your best girl. That's what country sounds like. Thanks for making us number one.